Today we have Margot Bass with us. We're really excited. She's going to share a lot of practical information on how to establish a routine for your family. So it should be really great. So give it up for Margot.
I will give it up for you.
Thanks. Oh, y'all are sweet. This is super special to be here. If any of you were here last year, I did something very similar. So some of this will be a repeat if you were here last year, and some of it will be some new stuff. But I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get started talking about routines. I feel like January is the perfect time to jump into thinking about what this year is going to hold for you guys and for your families. So, Lord, we love you, and we just we pray for the precious moms in this room and for the veteran moms who are here to love on them. We pray for the children and the husbands that are represented here. Lord, we just pray that we would faithfully steward the gifts that you've given us, the gifts of our time, the gifts of being at home with our children and their precious hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to be open and vulnerable with one another. Lord, that we would share from places of hurt or brokenness. And Lord, that we would speak into each other's hearts. And Lord, be encouraging towards one another. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So girls, my thought today is that we'll kind of go through some of these different topics, and then I'll give you guys time just to share thoughts and ideas together, because I always feel like the best things come when you guys can really brainstorm and kind of hash out some ideas, things that you all do, things that work and things that don't work. So I'm going to sit here so I feel a little closer to you guys. We are the Bass family, and John and I have been married for 13 years. We just celebrated our 13th anniversary, which is crazy. He and I were high school sweethearts, so we've known each other for a long time, and those are our four precious kids, Charlie and Lucy, Henry and Annie. So right now we're at 8, 7, 5, and almost 3. But I'm going to share today just really about my first couple of years as a mommy. Charlie and Lucy are just 13 months apart, and so I entered momhood kind of with a bit of a blast. I had been a full-time working lady. John was a Marine at the time, and I loved those first couple years that we had just the two of us working. I felt a ton of contentment and satisfaction in my job. We had always wanted to have a family, so getting pregnant with Charlie and then quickly with Lucy was a huge gift. But I had a really hard transition becoming a mom and just really trying to figure out how to do the best I could with what God had given us, and yet also have a sense of accomplishment and purpose in my days. So we're just going to talk a little bit about some of those things. But I do just want to start, as we talk about rhythms, just to remind us where all good rhythms come from. And I think as a mom, there's often a sense when we don't have rhythms or there isn't structure that we're kind of, you know, reaching for something, and you often think, like, why is that? Why does it feel so much smoother, so much more peaceful when we do have rhythms? And I believe that that is because that's what God created us for. If you think back to the beginning, God is the creator and the maker of all good and perfect rhythms. You think about day and night. You think about the four seasons. You think about the ebb and flow of the tide. All of those things are his perfect design. And in Eden, where we were created to be, there were perfect rhythms. But when sin entered the world and created chaos and disorder, those rhythms were gone. And so much, I feel like, of our daily struggle even just stems from the fall and the fact that we were made for rhythm, and yet because of the chaos of the fall, we are always working to get back to that. And as a mom, I just feel like that is so important to remember. It's not our shortcomings when we feel that sense of disorder or chaos, but it's us being created for perfection and living in a broken world. So just keep that in mind. I think even we can be so hard on ourselves. We can see people who appear to have it all together or to have, you know, good structure and productivity, and there can be just a sense of feeling a lack or a want there. But the lack and the want that we feel is really for eternity and for the gospel. the good news, I feel like, for us as moms is that we have the privilege to live out the gospel in a very real and tangible way in the rhythms of our day. Dirty things become clean, hunger is satisfied, lost things are found, new life is born and grows. Those are all things as a mom that we witness in such a real and tangible way. And I listened to a really sweet podcast the other day, and she was just talking about that, talking about the fact that, like, when we are washing dirty clothes and dirty laundry, that is a small picture of the gospel. Dirty things becoming clean and the sweet cycles that just go over and over for us as a mom are also just a glimpse into the reality of the gospel, and that he is making all things new, all things clean. So like I said, everything I'm going to share today is really born from a season of struggle for me, and it's humbling for me to say that, because motherhood is always something that I had longed for and wanted. We had prayed for children. I had an incredible example in a mom growing up, and so I came into motherhood feeling like, I've got this, you know, I was made for this, this is going to be super easy. And when I kind of like rammed hard into the reality of what it was like to have a one-year-old and a newborn, and the fact that, you know, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd open up the drawer, and there would be no diapers, and I'd say to myself, oh my goodness, I guess we're going to Target today because there's no diapers. Or it would come to 5 o'clock, and I would be like, oh my goodness, I'm hungry, John's hungry, he's about to come home from work, and there's no dinner. And I just thought, why can I not get into a good rhythm? Why can I not really figure this out? And so I started to just really research, I started to read, I started to seek out other moms who seemed to have established some good patterns, and I really started to sort of attack each of those little individual areas of our life that felt out of order. So my heart, kind of in my quest for rhythms and for peace, really came, I wanted a peaceful home. I wanted John to be able to come home to a peaceful home. I wanted to be able to have a peaceful home that we could invite friends to. I wanted to have community. I wanted to be mindful over being mindless. I think sometimes as a mom, our tasks can feel mindless. They can feel just monotonous. They can feel like you're unseen and that no one notices what's going on. And I felt like, you know what, there can be mindfulness in this, be it intentionality with my husband, intentionality with our kids, having other families, young moms, enter into this season with us. I wanted time each day for myself, and more than just myself, I wanted to be able to be the best mom and wife I could be, and so I wanted to be able to take care of myself. I also wanted to be intentional with my kids. I think there was a time when I realized that before we had had children, when I envisioned motherhood, I envisioned making chocolate chip cookies and reading on the couch with like a big stack of library books, and none of those things were happening. I felt like all I did was move babies from one place to another. I washed dishes, I did laundry, I went to Target, I went to Costco, and I thought, man, where are those moments that I really dreamed about and longed for? How can I help to cultivate a home where those things happen? And I also wanted to be kind to my future self. And what that means is that I knew that if I established rhythms and routine for our family, that I would thank myself later. So the Margot this evening and the Margot tomorrow would be grateful for what the Margot had done the day before, if that makes sense. And so that, I think, is important to have a goal in mind as we look to, you know, why would I want to establish a routine, you know, in this area of our home? Or why would I want to create some structure in this area for our kids? Not only to be kind to yourself as a mom, but also to set those things up so your kids can be successful. So I want you guys to think about those two things, because I feel like often what motivates a change is going to be, you have to have a goal in mind. There has to be some reason that you're maybe wanting to establish a change. And you guys might be in a season where you feel like you're on cruise and you're doing great. You also might be in a season like I was, where you felt like, man, I could really use a change. And so if you're in that place, and you might not be, just talk amongst yourselves about these two questions. What is a small way for you to recharge each day? So that being a motivator. And then what is your favorite way to spend time with your child or your children? So those two things may be motivating the desire for a change. I have some sheets on your table that just say notes at the top. I didn't do anything fancy. But if you want to write down the answer to those two questions, and as you guys talk, just take maybe 5 minutes and talk about some of those things. All right, girls, we are going to move on to the next thing. We're having some technical difficulties. I'm sorry, the laptop has run out of batteries, so we're just going to proceed forward until we get a charger. But I'm going to read you a little clip from this sweet book, which I discovered at some point during my quest for knowledge about the title of the book is How to Do It All and Not Be Overwhelmed. And it's written by Carolyn Mahaney, and she's written a couple other books. But the authors are just kind of some senior moms, and they were just writing about, you know, what do you prioritize when you feel like you have all these things to do? And so she quotes C.S. Lewis, and this is C.S. Lewis's words, but in this book. It says, "The great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life God is sending one day by day. What one calls one's real life is a phantom of one's imagination. This, at least, is what I see at moments of insight. But it's hard to remember all the time." And I feel like as a mom, that just rings so true because there are constant interruptions. In fact, it's sometimes just interruption after interruption after interruption. And there's our selfish nature would say, you know what, our baby or our husband or our, you know, broken dishwasher, like all these things are interrupting my life and what I'm trying to accomplish and what I'm trying to do. And just the sweet reminder that that's really a lie. God has given us this life right now, and the interruptions are exactly that. They're part of our actual real life that we're living right now today. And so I think sometimes even just having that shift mentally to say, you know what, like this sick child or this whiny toddler or this disciplinary thing that I'm having to deal with right now, like this is it. This is what God's given me right now, and I'm going to do the best I can with what he's given me. So I just love C.S. Lewis, and those words are really sweet. So, all right, so maybe you guys have identified possible just motivators for you. And so, thank you guys, thanks. It's not the right kind of connection. No. Oh, bummer, I'm sorry. I don't know, I think it's women's ministry. It wasn't mine. She just, Gail had it up and running when I got here, so, okay. Thanks, you guys. All right, we're going to talk about establishing a morning and an evening routine. So as I kind of started to research, I feel like that was one of the main things that kind of rang true. All the books that I read, all the bloggers that I found, they kind of said, if you want to get into like a good system, a good rhythm, establish for yourself a morning routine and an evening routine. And as a mom, I think it can be as simple or as complex as you would like for it to be. I also know that some of us are maybe more night owls and some of us are more early birds. So the way that you could divide that up could be really different. I am very much and have always been an early bird. So my evening routine is like three things because when I put our kids to bed, I'm like clocked out. And so that for me is a gift because I don't have a long list of things to do in the evening, but I do wake up early before our children, and I have kind of for a long time, and my early morning list is pretty long, but that's just because that's when I'm at my best. And you guys, that might look different for you. I'm going to just shout out some things because our slide is not working. But so establishing a morning routine can, one, fall into the category of self-care for you. That can be a short period of time where you wash your face and brush your teeth and maybe take a shower. It can also be when you have a hot cup of coffee. You can also do things that prepare for you to have a successful day with your kids or with your baby. So it can kind of be dual purposed. It can be sort of mommy preparation or it can be self-care. So I'm just going to list off some possible morning routine ideas. Take a shower, read your Bible, unload the dishwasher, take 5 minutes to plan your day, make a hot beverage, wash your face, set out the ingredients that you'll need for dinner that night, pray for your husband, make your bed, prep breakfast, stretch or do yoga, light a candle, start your load of laundry for the day, lay out clothes and shoes for your little ones, pack the diaper bag, listen to a podcast. These are just a couple that I've come up with. Obviously, we would love to knock out all those things before 6 a.m. I think that would be, it would be a really great day in the making if we could. But, you know, realistically, maybe 1, 2, 3 of those things that could help kind of give you a little bit of a jump on the day. I love the idea of a morning routine. And I think just as we talked before, some people will say, you know, Margo, like, I'm just not a scheduled person. Like, I just could never do that. And I think, yes, there are definitely some personalities that lean more towards more structure than others. But everybody does need to accomplish a certain number of things within the 24 hours that God's given us. And if you're caring for little people, then they have needs that need to be accomplished. So less thinking about it as a schedule and more just thinking about it as how am I going to execute these things that I need to accomplish? And same thing for the evening routine. The evening routine can also sort of help you kind of wind down the day, or it can help you if you're not a morning person, it can be sort of your jump start on your next day. So some of the evening routine ideas that I had were take a shower, read your Bible, start the dishwasher, plan for tomorrow, wipe off your counters, sweep the kitchen floor, defrost the meat for your following day's dinner. Pour yourself a glass of wine. Wash your face. Fold the laundry for the day. Do your 3-basket pickup, which I'll talk about in a second. Go for a walk. Pack your diaper bag. Pack lunches and snacks for the following day. Write down your daily expenses. So that kind of falls into like a budgeting category, which we'll talk about. But again, some of those things fall into kind of the personal care. Some of those things fall into the category of like prepping for your day tomorrow. Why don't you guys take a few minutes while we're getting this squared away and just talk about if you have a morning routine and an evening routine already established, then maybe share what's working. And then also if you feel like that is something that could really help or something that you'd like to start of those things that we listed off or maybe ideas that you guys have together, just talk through, you know, what would help sort of me prep for the day? What would help close things down and get ready for the new day? So you guys take 5 minutes to sort of talk through some of those things. All right, girls, I heard so many great ideas like tossing around from like toy rotation to like when you pick up to when you wake your kids up to when you get up. I love it. I think you guys have definitely got some good ideas flowing. So a couple other things that have worked really, really well for our family and that Carolyn Mahaney talks about in this book. There's a business principle that she refers to and that you guys might have heard of called, it's called the 15-4 rule. And that is that if you spend 15 minutes before you have like a 4-hour portion of your work day, if you spend 15 minutes beforehand planning out what you're going to do during that 4 hours, so basically assuming that, you know, if you're in business, you've got 4 hours until a lunch break and then another 4 hours, that your productivity during that 4-hour stretch is exponentially more than if you don't take those 15 minutes. And so she was just referring that, you know, to our season of life and saying in the morning, if you can take 10 or 15 minutes to just look at your day, plan your day, the value that that has for you as a mom, just not only in what you can accomplish, but like we said before, you know, what is our motivation? What are we hoping to accomplish in the day with our kids? Not only that the laundry gets done, that everybody gets fed, but that we have time to really be with them, that we have time to look our kids in the eye, play with them, read to them, enjoy their sweet little company, because I'm also here to tell you that it goes way faster than you might realize. And before you know it, they'll be in school. And the sweet years that you guys are experiencing right now, where your kids are in preschool or at home with you, it doesn't last forever. So just wanting that time to be intentional. I feel like I'm even savoring it right now with our last one still at home. So setting aside time in the morning to plan, and then kind of backing that up so that your week has structure and also your month. That might seem overwhelming, but I think often, you know, my husband and I will be talking and we'll say, you know, let's have that couple over for dinner, or you and I really need to get a date night, or, you know, when are we going to go see your parents next? And things like that, at least in this season for us, if they don't get down on paper, or if we don't actually say like, yes, let's look at the calendar and decide when we're going to do that, then they just stay floating kind of in the, like the, I want to. And so having that time to sit down and say, yeah, what do I want to accomplish this week? Is there a mom that I'd really like to get to know better? And so let me send her a text and see if she's free on Tuesday afternoon, or we really need a date night. So let's go ahead and put that on the calendar and go ahead and see if, you know, grandma can come or a babysitter can come. But again, things like that don't just happen when you are spread so thin as a young mom. So give yourself 10 or 15 minutes in the morning. We usually plan our week on Sunday just because it's a day of rest for our family. The afternoon is usually free after church and you're kind of able to look ahead. And that works great for us. And then same thing with monthly planning. At the end of the month, John and I kind of look at the month. We talk budget stuff, but we also just look ahead to the next month. You know, when would be a good night for us to have a date night? Are there doctor's appointments? Are there things coming up that I can help you with? I feel like I learned early on in our marriage, once we had kids, that John wanted to help me, but he often just didn't know how or what I needed, and that I needed to just humbly say, like, look, I need to go out with some girlfriends on Tuesday night, and I need you to do bedtime. And he was happy to do that, but it wasn't necessarily obvious to him to say, hey, you look like you really need a girls' night. And so your husbands might be the same. And so just to encourage you, like, just ask. You know, see if he would be willing to help you with that, and know that that is life-giving for you. You can be a better mom when you are able to make time for things like that. So setting aside time each week, setting aside time each month, family days, date nights, girls' nights, talking about your budget. We will talk next about meal planning, which I feel like is a huge time saver and gift to yourself. But two things I want to bring up. These are also in Carolyn Mahaney's book. She talks about eating your frog first in the morning. And I actually just saw the other day, there's like a gym that just came out called Eat Your Frog. So that I think is like an old adage about, you know, if you have to eat a frog for whatever reason, you would want to do it first thing in the morning just to get it over with, as opposed to thinking about all day that you have to eat this frog. So, you know, think about whatever your frog is for the day. If you've got little people and you have to go to the grocery store, or you've got a doctor's appointment, and loading everybody up is kind of like your biggest rally for the day, try to go ahead and just knock that out like first thing. If you've got a pile of laundry that needs to be folded, if you're trying to get dinner in the crock pot, you know, whatever it is kind of for you that day, knocking it out first thing. One, it doesn't get any better as the day goes on that you have to do this thing. And you can then mentally sort of put that aside and again, enjoy time with your kids, enjoy time with friends, or just getting to be at home, whatever else you have going for that day. And then the second, these are like animal analogies, but to eat an elephant one bite at a time. So it was a real like wake-up call to me when I became a mom that I could never finish a task. I don't know why I thought that that would be like really easy, but the interruptions are so discouraging at times. And the fact that you only have maybe 10 or 15 minutes at a time before you're interrupted again, or before you need, somebody needs something, a dirty diaper, it's time to nurse again, somebody woke up after you laid them down. I began to really master like the 10-minute task. And on some blog, a mom who was many steps ahead of me told me about her timer trick. And I feel like now there's timers on our watches, on our phones, on our microwave, whatever. But I use one of these old school like kitchen timers that you kind of carry around, and there's one on your table. they need batteries. I'm sorry. I kind of totally dropped the ball on that. But I literally just will set the timer for 10 minutes, and you guys would be amazed at all the things you can knock out when you have your 10-minute timer. So maybe you give your kids a little bit of screen time, or you have Daniel Tiger on, or maybe they're playing quietly, and you're like, okay, I could knock something out. It could fall into the self-care category. It could fall into the productivity category. But just think about, it's almost like you're racing the clock, but you also, at the end of the 10 minutes, you kind of have something to show for your time, which is, I feel like, incredibly valuable as a young mom to say, like, okay, I just cleaned that bathroom, and I just got dinner in the crock pot, or I just, like, emailed my friend that I needed to, you know, respond to. So here's a couple 10-minute task possibilities. I think sometimes as a mom, all the tasks we have to do during the day can seem overwhelming. And so it can be almost paralyzing, like, oh, it's just too much. I'm not going to be able to get any of it done. But when you eat your elephant in what they called, you know, that's how the analogy goes. Like, if you have an elephant to eat, you can't do it in one bite. You just have to chunk it off into little pieces, and eventually you'll get him eaten. I'll talk a little bit about laundry, but putting away, you know, one person's laundry. You can bathe a baby in 10 minutes. You can unload the dishwasher in 10 minutes. You can have a dance party with your kids. You can chop veggies for dinner. You can make a marinade for your meat. You can play puzzles, build a fort. You can read library books for 10 minutes. You can strip your sheets off your bed. You can text your husband. You can blow dry your hair in 10 minutes. You can boil pasta in 10 minutes. I think the thing I love about this, too, is that often, as moms, we can feel guilty if we are doing home tasks or even self-care tasks that we're not engaging with our kids. But I think it's important for kids to see that life is not all just about playing, and that, yes, there are tasks that need to be accomplished. And as your kids get older, just to give you encouragement, you will begin to involve them in those tasks, and then eventually they will. You can delegate some of those tasks to your kids, which is really, really fun. But I often found that when your children are able to ask for your time, it's sweet to be able to say to them, you know what, mommy needs to get dinner prepped, but I'm going to set the timer, and it's going to take me 10 minutes. And when the timer beeps, then we can do puzzles, or then I can play trains with you. And then same thing too, just say, then mommy's going to play for 10, 15 minutes, you know, whatever margin you guys feel like you have. And then mommy has to go move the laundry over. And so I think it's sweet too, to see, you know what, life has limits, and just an easy kind of way to divide those things up. So, all right. Okay, so I kind of hit on all those things, and you guys talked morning routines and evening routines, and now we'll talk a little bit about meal planning. I saw this cute thing on Instagram. Went to the grocery store today, had to pay for the food, prepare it, and cook it myself. 0 stars. Would not recommend. So I think, you know, one of the realities of having kids is that they're always hungry, and you are probably the sole provider of that nourishment 3 times a day for your kids. And that can be overwhelming, it can be exhausting, and it can just consume your thoughts. I completely understand. Again, like I said, I came from a family with an amazing mom who was an amazing cook. And I went into motherhood thinking that I would be just like her, and that we would have fresh bread and all the homemade goodies, and that would be, she made it look really easy, and it was much more difficult than I thought. And so I almost had to just give myself a pass to say, like, it's okay, Margo, you need to feed your babies. You want time at the table to be sweet, to be filled with family time and good memories. It doesn't necessarily have to be all organic, all homemade, from scratch all the time. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you have margin for that. But you know what? If you feed your kids, then you are doing a great job. So I just want you to hear that from someone who has struggled kind of both ways, feeling inadequate in that, but also just really realizing, like, what is most important. And what's most important is that you feed your family. So we'll talk real quick just about some easy kind of meal planning suggestions here. So anybody can meal plan. My suggestion is just to keep it simple, and that the goal would be that we feed our families and enjoy mealtime together. So you might be in a season where, especially when it comes to dinner, you guys might feed your children first and then eat dinner with your husband after you put your kids to bed, which that works great in some seasons. You might be in a season where you eat with your kids, and because of your husband's work schedule, he then has to eat later. Just know that all of those things are okay. Whatever season you're in, as far as feeding your family goes, it's going to look different, and that is going to ebb and flow as the seasons and dynamics of your family change. My suggestion is at the beginning of the week, if you are wanting to meal plan for the week or even for the month, to first shop your fridge and your pantry. It's always frustrating to buy ground beef and then pull open your freezer drawer and see that you have ground beef. Not only does it waste money, but you know, you just then feel like, oh man, I could have used that. So see what you have before you meal plan. We have found it so helpful to create what is called a meal matrix, or basically just kind of writing in. So this is what we do. And I have a little, there's a weekly calendar on y'all's table, but I'll just explain this, and if it's helpful, great. If not, no big deal. So at the beginning of the month, I do kind of write in what we're going to have for dinner all month long. And that is easy, you guys, because sometimes you can just make it brainless. I put some suggestions here. You can get in a rut and you think like, oh my goodness, we've had Mexican like, you know, four times already this month. But there really are a ton of options. And if you put it into your kind of meal matrix, then you can see like, okay, we're going to do Taco Tuesdays. We're going to do pizza on Friday night. We've got a date night scheduled. I'm going to do, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. Again, keep it simple. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be elaborate. Trader Joe's is like the king of like the fast and easy meal. And there's even a ton of bloggers out there who will do like just Trader Joe's meals. Like you get these three things and voila, you have like orange chicken over rice. So I totally recommend that. If you've got a husband who likes to help, you know, put him on the meal matrix to grill one night, or, you know, whatever works for your family. But just some easy kind of ways to plug that in. And then at the beginning of the week, before you shop, see what you have in your pantry. You're going to make your grocery list. When we first had Charlie and Lucy, grocery delivery and grocery pickup did not exist yet. So you guys, like, that is a game changer. I mean, if you make a meal list for the week, you literally can just drive up, open the side of your minivan or SUV and have them load it all in, which to me makes the planning, I mean, you buy yourself hours with that. And again, so many people have it now. Walmart has it. I think Publix has it. Kroger has it. All the click list things. So make your list and then shop. Do it either online or in person. I have found it super helpful. I'll do one store of the pickup and then one store of the run in and grab stuff, because I know not all stores have it. But that to me is like the 2-for-1 deal, because I'll run out to get groceries, I'll swing in, I'll have them load in the pickup stuff, and then I'll go to Trader Joe's or whatever and, you know, do my shopping. But you can kind of get everything that you need in one stop without really having to go into two stores. That being said, then that kind of makes your evening and your morning meal prep easy. I always plan our dinners, and now that we have a bigger family and kids in school, I plan our breakfasts and our lunches, but I didn't do that when I was in y'all's season, when I had little people, because you're sort of just cutting up tiny things or pouches or mush, or if you're breastfeeding or bottles, that kind of is a little bit easier. But again, just think through what would work best in your season. As I started to establish some of these routines, I can honestly tell you that I would look through my routine and things would change at least every 3 months. So just kind of hold that lightly too, and know that like with little ones, their eating schedules are changing, their sleeping schedules are changing. And so it's normal, and I think very accurate, that you would adjust your schedule on a 3-month basis. And that is good and healthy and will help your family. So don't be so set in a rhythm to think, oh my goodness, now he's doing this, and so we've dropped a nap, or things like that. Just kind of rework the routine. All right, so meal planning, meal matrix, We talked about 10-minute timers. Okay, awesome. All right, why don't you guys take a couple minutes to talk through some of those things. What you guys might do currently for meal planning, what works with you guys, what doesn't work, maybe some of the suggestions here that would be helpful for you to like add in, and you guys just share. Okay, girls, I'm going to just finish up. We've got like maybe 10 more minutes of me talking, and then you guys can just have at it with all the good things. I love hearing y'all's ideas about like freezer meals and even some of these great like meal kits that, you know, come to your door. I feel like so fun to share things that y'all are doing to just make it all work. Okay, so the last slide is kind of just the last sort of random things that I wanted to talk through. There's not really any particular order here, but I want to talk about laundry. I want to talk about like the end of the day cleanup and what to do with your kids' clothes once they outgrow them, because that's like a whole thing that no one ever told me about. Like, what do you do with it? Yes. Okay, so the laundry situation is real, and talking about dirty things becoming clean, we're now at 4 kiddos, and so we've got the laundry every day. But I've read a bunch, probably too many blogs about laundry and the best systems and how to do it and how to make it work. And there's definitely a lot of thoughts out there about how to do it. And so I'm going to tell you what we're doing right now and what has worked for probably the last 8 years. But then I'll toss out a couple other things that I've read that may work for your family. So the laundry situation, depending on the space that you have, we have found it best to tackle laundry one load a day at a time. So that is always my goal, to fully complete one load of laundry within the day. And so that means that at the end of a day, I go around and scoop up all the dirty clothes from all 6 of us. And I go ahead and toss it into the bin or into a hamper, into the drum or into a hamper. I start my load of laundry first thing in the morning. And so it's kind of all the clothes from the day before. I go ahead and start it first thing in the morning. I switch it over at nap time, and I fold it at the end of the day. Okay, so in order for the laundry to be finished in our house, it means that it's been washed, it's been dried, and it's been folded. It hasn't necessarily been put like back into drawers. So we have 6 small baskets, just kind of those cube-sized square ones that they have, you know, at every Target and Walmart. And every person has a basket. So when I fold my daily basket of laundry, I then just put Charlie, Lucy, Henry, Annie, John, Margot. And then one of my 10-minute tasks in a day would be just to take one of those small baskets and put away that person's laundry. So this has worked really well for us because, one, it kind of helps to combat the like Mount Everest pile that can grow, and the living out of the pile or the pulling out of the pile, which can just be kind of stressful at the beginning or end of the day when you're hunting for things or your husband's hunting for things and messes up the piles that you sort of know. It also is helpful because each person's clothes are then put into a basket, and so there's not like the mix-up. And it also, again, talking about laundry being an elephant, helps to kind of just break it up into some of those like smaller tasks. So that is working great for us and has for a while. Some other people that I have come across, some of their laundry techniques are to set aside one day each week to do laundry. And I would say that I'm kind of a subpar like laundress. I just wash everything together with Tide. And but if you are like a really great laundress and you do whites and you do bleach and you do cold water and hot water, if you've kind of got like a more of a system, that might work better for you to do the single day where you do all of the laundry. And that would be great. I'm trying to think of some other, I have also come across people who will do, so instead of doing everybody in one day, they'll just do whites one day, they'll just do sheets one day, they'll just do towels one day, things like that. So just a couple of thoughts. If you need to revamp your laundry system, if that's an area where you feel like you need some love, All right, the end of the day, three basket cleanup. I don't remember where I came across this, but I thought that this was genius, and we've done it for a while now. When everybody goes to bed, like I mentioned before, I have a pretty short evening routine, but yours might be longer. But inevitably, things are displaced throughout your home. Things that belong in the kitchen are now in the family room. Family room toys are now up in your kid's bedroom. There's trash, there's dirty clothes. And in order to kind of do a quick clean sweep, I have a tub or a basket, and I'll go around. And it, to me, is so much faster if I go ahead and just scoop the things that need to be relocated into the basket. I'll carry with me like a grocery sack, go ahead and toss the trash in there, and then same thing with dirty clothes, just making a pile. It's just like a really kind of fast way to sort of visually clean the space, which for me is like so happy for my mind. So I don't know about you guys with visual clutter, but so trash, dirty clothes, toys. And then I carry that basket of things that need to be relocated room to room, and then go ahead and just put away the things that need to be put away. So it helps, kind of makes it fast. We talked about the pocket timers and the 10-minute tasks, which I love. I still do that a lot. And now my kids know about it, and they'll be like, "Mom, set the timer." And so they'll race the clock and go ahead and, you know, clean up their room in 10 minutes or take a quick 10-minute shower. We talked about weekly tasks. Another thing that I feel like gets tossed to the wayside are things that probably need to be done on a quarterly basis. And this would be a perfect time of the year to kind of pencil some of these things into your calendar. I think I realized, like when Lucy was two, that I like hadn't gotten my teeth cleaned in more than 2 years. And it just was one of those things that I hadn't put on the calendar. I hadn't made time to do. And so those are the kind of things like getting your hair cut, getting your teeth cleaned, getting the yard work done. Again, putting those things on the calendar on a quarterly basis just allow you to mentally see it, ask for help, ask for childcare so that those things can get taken care of too. I didn't put this on the slide, but a couple of systems that are helpful when it comes to moving your kids' clothes along. Again, something I really never considered before we had kids was that your kids are growing at an incredibly fast rate and the seasons are changing. So there seems to be this ever influx of clothes, and you need a system in order to, you know, figure out where they go next. And so that, I think, is what you have to kind of think through. Like, what happens to the clothes after my child has outgrown them? And what do I need to do with them next? So I think there's a couple different options. One is that you're with your family's finished, and so you need the clothes to literally go somewhere else. And the other would be that you're still growing your family, and so you want to store the clothes for potential following children. We have found it so helpful to just put two bins in the top of our kids' closets, and it's amazing how they literally do grow overnight. Sometimes you'll put on a sleeper and you'll think, oh my goodness, like their toes are squunched and their like shoulders are being pulled down. So I go ahead and just quickly toss that into basically the bin in their closet. Our family is now complete, but when we were still growing our family, I would put it in what I would consider like the hand-me-down basket. And then there are things that are either stained, you don't necessarily want to keep, you know that you're going to move them on. Maybe it was a gift from someone and you needed to wear it, but now, you know, you can move it on. And so that is my other bin. So I have kind of like the keep bin, and then I have the Goodwill or send to a friend or, you know, donate bin. And then when I have a block of time and can pull that bin down, go ahead and fold up the things, put them in a Tupperware, either in the attic or basement, whatever you guys have kind of decided is your best sort of next step. But it saves for me, it was taking me like an entire Saturday to go through the kids' closets, move all the clothes around, and it felt just like a huge ask. But that is just kind of an easy way to initially have somewhere for that item to go, and then allows you to sort of address it when you need to. So just a thought, a helpful suggestion about all those sweet hand-me-downs and kids' clothes. So that's kind of all that I have, you guys, as far as rhythms go. I love to talk about this kind of stuff because it's still very much a season that we're in, and I'm always trying to find new systems to sort of help our family be efficient and enjoy time together without letting, you know, just the mundane things of life kind of bog us down. But feel free to email me or even call and grab a cup of coffee. I'm here many days out of the week. So I would love to chat with you or even just share best practices, anything like that. So thank you guys so much for letting me come and just share and talk. And I think you guys have a good like 15 minutes left just to enjoy each other's company before you need to pick up your babies. So I'm going to close us just in prayer and then you guys can get started. Lord, we love you and we just, we thank you so much for this group of women and for what a precious community this is. Lord, I pray that the girls here would just really rely on one another, Lord, to just hold each other up in seasons that are hard. And Lord, that they would just encourage each other, that they would sharpen one another. And Lord, that we would ultimately honor you with our lives and with our mothering, that our children would be the sweet reflection of our work. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you guys.